When I first thought about doing this sermon for today, I hadn't thought about it being Valentine's Day. But I do get tired of doing sermons relating to whatever the secular holidays are. And yet this does have to do with love. Because it talks about really the love that God tells us to have for Him and for one another. I titled this, What Does a Christian Look Like? What does a Christian look like? What is it that the world looks at that sets us apart from them? I mean, they can look at each of us in our individual lives and see that we're not perfect, okay? And they can see, oh, maybe we're nice people. You know, maybe we're honest people. They can see that maybe we have different values than some do. But, you know, a lot of people in the world have the same values but are not Christians. So what is it that a pagan world looks at that identifies us as Christians? They can look at us and say, oh, this person must be a Christian. And it's not picketing. It's not rioting. That's worldly. I don't care how much you want to say it's in the name of God. It's still sinful. That's not what Jesus did. It's what He told us not to do. But there are people that want to make Jesus political. And Jesus was never, ever political. He never said one word against the Roman government. And boy, He sure could have. He took the religious leaders to task. And there's the real rub. You know, we get cozy with people because they say they're religious, they're Christian, but they live otherwise. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And many Christians say, no, you don't have to. Jesus said at the end of the Matthew, to teach them to obey all I've commanded you. And there are many who say, oh, no, you don't have to. Well, who are you going to follow? And unfortunately, many people just say, oh, it's no big deal. You know, live and let live as Christians. That's not what Paul wrote. It's not what Peter wrote. It's not what James wrote. It's not what John wrote. It's not what Jesus said. So what is it that on the surface really is a witness to a lost world? Well, the text I'm using is Acts 2, 42 through 47, follows the day of Pentecost. What did the early church do that caused people to listen and to want to become a Christian? Well, in Acts 2, beginning in verse 42, Luke wrote, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I find it interesting that in those few verses, the apostles only get one verse. You know, they were busy preaching the word, but part of the responsibility was, because the day of Pentecost, 3,000 became Christians that day, they had to start doing some teaching. So they were not just out on the street corners proclaiming the good news. They were now busy with these 3,000 people giving them instruction. So the first thing we see about a Christian is devotion. Devotion. For many Christians, devotion is an alien word. Oh, I may go to church, but that's my tradition or that's my custom. But it doesn't show the rest of the week. Devotion means committed to something, that this is important. We have a devotion to our jobs. We may hate our jobs, but we're still there because, well, we need the income. That's a form of devotion. I've got to be there. I've got to be on time. School, that's a form of devotion. May not always enjoy going to school. May not want to go this day. May pray for a snow day, you know. But you go because it's important. And so for Christians, a devotion And it's a devotion in verse 42 to four things. One is God's Word. Devotion to God's Word. It amazes me, and it's amazed me over the years, how many Christians do not bother reading their Bible. As if it's something that just kind of sits there, if they even have one, but it's not important to really study. People will spend more time watching TV or being on the phone than they will in the Word of God. Where's the devotion to wanting to know what God says to me? If I say I love the Lord but don't care what He says, then what does that say about my love to Him? But a real view of a Christian is a commitment to God's Word, to be reading it, to, like what we're doing now, being considering it as you're hearing it proclaimed, being in Bible study, being able to think and reason and think about, well, how does God's Word apply to me? And that's something that should be changing over the years. When I look back at, about 45 years ago, began preaching, what did I know as a young person? What I knew, I believed, I understood. But as time's gone on, God's Word's become even more alive and more pertinent, more applicable. Growing up in Central Illinois, I looked at the solution to many things from a Midwest viewpoint. But it wasn't until we had our ministry in Montreal in the late 70s that I began to see God's Word had to apply to different cultures, different backgrounds, as we met people from Jamaica and Denmark and other places. Looking at God's Word through a Midwest viewpoint no longer held up. God's Word is God's Word. But Jesus didn't live and preach in Central Illinois. And so it was a matter of, well, God, what are you saying and how does that fit where people are now? And people are the same wherever they are, but the mindsets that we have to be thinking through can sometimes get in the way. And so people from all around the world can be one in God's Word. Might have different traditions, different cultural things, different foods. But what we have in common is our understanding of God through His Word. And that understanding varies from age to age, generation to generation, as we mature and grow. But there's got to be that commitment. I tell you, I think getting into God's Word when I was young and staying in it up until now has helped me immensely. But those who wait until they're in their 50s and 60s and 70s to get into God's Word are going to be way behind. But that's okay, as long as you're in God's Word, listening to Him and seeing what He has to say for us to know and believe and to trust. Devotion to God's Word. Devotion to being together. It says here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Being together as Christians. How many people do we hear say, oh, I don't need the church. I don't need to go. I don't need to be in fellowship. I don't need it. Well, yes, you do. Because if you don't need it here, you're not going to have it in eternity. Because this is where we choose. Do we value the body of Christ or do we not? And if we do not, then we will not be part of it in eternity. And so when the world looks at us and they see the Christians gathered together, that's one of the signs that we are Christians. That's what a Christian looks like. It's someone who's part of the body of Christ, not a solo individual who's like everybody else. Devoted to the breaking of bread. Initially, the early church, because so many of them were from out of town, they met in their homes daily and shared a meal and then had what we call communion. A commitment to what you and I just celebrated. Because in that is that remembrance of the price paid for us and our own sin. And in that, there is forgiveness and there is hope. And so they met around that because that's what brought them all together. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's what should bring us together. That's the high point of our worship service. For many people, going to church is about the music. It's about the experience. It's about, you know, having a good time. Maybe having someone who's an excellent speaker and people just love to hear him speak. But the real reason that we gather together, the central of why we gather together, is what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. And they devoted themselves to prayer. To prayer. They were praying people. They were people who spent time praying, together and individually. How many times has someone asked you to pray for them because they know you pray? You're a Christian, so obviously you pray, right? I've had so many people over the years ask me to pray for them because they know I'm a preacher. Well, okay, I'm a preacher, but I'm a Christian. And I would often tell people, well, you can talk to God too. And unfortunately, so many of them had no relationship with the Lord and didn't even know where to begin and didn't really want to. But we have that connection through the Holy Spirit with God. We need to be praying people. And instead of wringing our hands about how bad the government is, we need to be praying for our government, which is exactly what Scripture tells us to do. The solution to the world's problems is Jesus Christ, and it's only going to happen when Christians pray. We can vote, but prayer is far more powerful. We can worry about how things are affecting people around us in our culture, but prayer is going to accomplish more. So when people look at us, if they see that we are people of prayer, they're going to see a Christian. But if they see a Christian that's so busy complaining about the government and this, that, and the other, all they're going to see is us from a worldly perspective, and we're no different from the world. So a Christian looks like someone who is devoted to God's Word, to being together, to meeting around the Lord's table, and being a person of prayer. Another sign of what a Christian looks like is indeed fellowship. Being together. It's not just on Sunday morning. It's not just in a Bible study, but being eager to be together with one another, to encourage each other. I always find it fun when one of my preacher friends calls up and says, hey, let's get together for breakfast. Okay, that's special. Now, I'm also part of Rotary, and if someone says, oh, Steve, let's get together, I want to talk, let's meet for lunch. Okay, that's nice. You know, if we want to talk a Rotary business, that's nice. But it's not the same as sitting and chatting and having a meal with a brother or sister in Christ. Being together, you know, is what is important. And especially when you're out in public and you sit down to eat together and you stop for a moment to pray. A witness to a lost world. Fellowship is also sharing as each has need. In the early church, because so many people were from out of town and there was needs, people who had property were selling it to help meet those needs. We don't do that quite like that now necessarily, but we can. And certainly, when we are involved with one another, when we know one another has a need, we're there to help. If someone needs food, we'll bring food. If someone needs something, we will help. If something is broken, we'll go and help repair or build something. It's the idea of caring for each other. And what made the early church stand out was that there was no means for social assistance. The Roman government certainly didn't care about individuals. But when the world saw that the church cared about each other, that people, when they became Christians, suddenly were helping each other, that was something that was new. Now, among the Jews, they were to offer hospitality for strangers and so forth, but this was something different. This was people that they knew who were helping each other. Instead of looking out for self, they were looking out for each other, sharing as each other had need. They met together for worship. That's part of fellowship, is meeting together for worship. We think of worship, God's our primary audience. We're singing praises to Him, but we're also encouraging each other. And the early church at first met in the temple courts every day. But as they spread, and that was no longer possible, they met wherever they went, and they met in homes. Please note that when the early church spread and the church was growing, the apostles, where were they? Still in Jerusalem. It was the ordinary Christians who'd been learning about God from His Word through the apostles that were spreading the good news to others. And people were seeing that these people were meeting together and caring about each other. And they influenced their own community. Because, well, here was such a loving, caring group that met together and they worshiped God. They followed a guy named Jesus Christ. Because remember, initially they went only to the Jewish people, but then they started going to Gentiles. And the word of God spread because Christians were meeting together for worship. And hospitality. Sharing with each other. Hospitality is something that's been largely lost in our culture, I think. So many people, because they're so busy working, mom, dad, they get home, they're tired, the last thing they want is company. But hospitality, even in our culture, used to be something that was common. To have friends over for a meal, you know, to get together, you know, to go out to eat after church or something, you know, to go to a restaurant and have time visiting. It used to be that when you would have a visiting missionary, people would fall over each other, offering to host, you know, the missionary for a meal. Now that usually falls to the preacher to do. Revivals. Revivals have long since gone by the wayside, pretty much. But when an evangelist would come, families would take turns providing the meals and having them in their homes. Nowadays, no one wants people in their home. But that's not the sign of a Christian. A Christian is someone who is willing and interested in having people come to share a meal, to sit down, to have a cup of coffee, to visit, to chat. Someone needs a place to sleep for the night, great. Now I'm not talking about going out here on the, you know, in the towns looking for homeless people. That's a whole different issue. This is sharing with one another, with Christians, because we have Christ in common. It's what the world needs to see, that Christians love each other. But instead, the world sees a fractured church that now more and more people are not taking seriously. Even many Christians are not taking seriously. And why? Because the church overall in our world is failing in something that Jesus said in the Gospel of John. If you love one another, the world will know that the Father sent me. If you love one another, then the world will know that the Father has sent me. And yet we see so little love being practiced in our world by God's people. A Christian, what else does a Christian look like? There's someone who's praising God. Praising God, that's verse 47. Praising God. That's someone who's learning. How can you praise God for things you don't know? You know, if I walk into a room and you know, there's some food there and I taste some of it. Oh boy, this is good. You know, I don't know it's good until I taste it. And I can't praise whoever cooked it until I've tasted it. You don't walk in and say, oh wow, boy, I don't know what that is. So I can't say anything. And likewise with God's Word, how can we praise God if we're not learning the wonders of His love, the wonders of His wisdom, the wonders of what He's done for us? And praising God does involve worship, and it's not just Sunday morning. It does involve Sunday morning, but it involves the rest of the week. Times of worship. I had such a wonderful time Friday night. With most of the songs I knew, I think I knew, you know, almost all the songs, sang along and even got to get up on the stage and sing with Peter Furler. And oh boy, that was exciting. Wendy was here. Wendy's there with me, you know, and we're just singing along and having a great time. You know, worshiping God. It doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be a group. You can be working in your yard and singing choruses and hymns. One of the things I used to do when we ministered in Ontario, to go to any meetings usually took at least two, three-hour drive to get wherever I was going, because things were so spread out in Ontario. So how did I bide my time? This was before, you know, wireless radio, and this was before CD players and whatnot. I sang choruses all the way. I sang hymns. So many things I used to know that, sad to say, now I don't remember them. I wish I could remember and sing some more, but so many have gone by the wayside in my aging memory. But worship can be any time and any place, and people know that we love God. Praising God in all things. How often do we say, oh boy, I was so lucky? No, we need to be thanking God for all the good things. All good things come from God. And people need to know that we appreciate all that God's given us. Yeah, I'm so fortunate. I have a good job. I have a good family. I just thank God for that. You know? I had a flat tire on the way to work today, but fortunately my tire, you know, spare tire was good, and I put it together, and I managed to get it, and I'm here, I made it to work. So I thank God that, you know, I knew how to do it, and I could do it. You know, finding ways to say, I love God, and give God the glory. Being examples. Notice there it says in verse 47, enjoying the favor of all the people. You know, when we are doing these things, we're going to be favored by people. You know, people get angry at people who become combative. But when we are busy showing love for God and one another, through our devotion, through our fellowship, through our praise of God, we are being an example to others. And whether or not they come to Christ, they're going to overall like us. The early church found that. In fact, that's been the case throughout history. When Christians have been about what they are about, good things happen. Even in the beginning of this nation, going back to the days of Samuel Davis, the beginning of this church in 1740, and through the 1800s up to the Civil War, the influence of Christians here in Virginia had helped set the stage for our own independence, national independence, our Constitution. You know, the religious influence of Christians held so much sway. Now, I've never ever believed that we are a Christian nation, because it always seemed to me that the majority of people I ever ran into were not Christians, were not followers of Christ. But we were founded upon some Christian values, and many Christians did make a difference that made what our country started out to be and has been something valuable and God-honoring overall. But you look at our American history, and there's a whole lot that's not worthy of pride. There's a whole lot that people have done as Americans that are despicable. The treatment of Indians, for example, and others who have come into our nation. So many things that are going on this day are despicable from God's perspective. But what's always made the difference in this nation is when Christians live as Christians, being devoted to God's word, being committed to fellowship and praising God. That's the way to be an example. It's not just being a nice person. And notice the result. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, there was the proclamation of the gospel, which unfortunately, I think even in our day and age, many Christians have forgotten that. It's more about political. Oh, we want things legislated a certain way, or we don't like this legislation. But that's not what it's about. It's about us living what we're supposed to live, proclaiming the good news to others, and showing that it works by how we live in love for God and for one another. If Christians cannot love God and cannot love one another, then what do we have to offer to the world? Except more of what the world is. So what does a Christian look like? Not anyone that's perfect. Notice there's no perfection listed here at all. But just devotion to God's word. To being together. The meeting around the Lord's table. Being people of prayer. Fellowshipping together. Being together. Sharing as each other has need. Meeting for worship. Offering hospitality to one another. Just being glad to get together. Anytime, anywhere. Praising God. Learning from what He tells us so that we can praise Him for what we're learning. Worshiping Him for how awesome and great He is. Praising Him in all the things that happen to us in life. All the opportunities we have. And being an example of this to those around us. It's not about us. It's about God. And that's what we need the world to see. Jesus died for them, and He wants them to be His people. But until His people start living and acting like His people, then the church is not going to save anyone. I believe that we do look like a Christian, but we need to kind of, make it more obvious. Make it more obvious to the people around us. People need to know that what we do is important. And so when it comes down to having the options of doing things the way the world does or doing what God wants us to do as the church, doing what we need to do as the church should be number one. Should be number one as much as possible. We're going to sing a song right now called Shepherd of My Soul. And this is a dangerous song because it starts out, Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. I don't know about you, but I find that hard to do. I have to admit, I find that hard to do. There are times where I'm selfish. There are times where I'm hard-headed, where I don't understand, and don't look at Rhonda. I just did. God knows. And that's why we need His love and His grace and His forgiveness. But I think by giving Him, when we sing this, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. It has to be where our heart is. Lord, am I devoted to You? The best I can do is always going to be imperfect. The best I can do, Lord, is to give You my heart and try my best. But I'm going to stumble. I'm going to falter. But Lord, I want to keep on my feet. Keep me on my feet following You. Help me. And may the world around me see, even though I'm imperfect, may they see that I love You and that Your love is real and Your grace is real and following You is worth doing. May that be my witness to a lost world. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing?